Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. This is Dr. Sherry Denham, and I'm here today with Dr. David Stoop and Mylon Yurkovich. I'm sitting in for Steve Arterburn, and we are looking forward to your calls. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I really enjoy your show.
Hi, you guys are the best.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
What a combination of wisdom and fun.
When we finally did it, and he walked out into the living room and said, "Well, I know it's not my birthday," and sat down on the couch.
I thought you said he had died. He divorced 10 years ago.
Dave's fault. Another name for firstborn is crash test dummy. And, you know, because we're learning a lot of stuff as parents.
There's a horse and there's a cart.
This is not a 3-year-old problem with your husband. This could have started in junior high school. We don't know.
See, right now we like each other, but we're not really being the kind of person that we would want to be to make it work. You follow me?
Welcome back to New Life Live. This is Sherry Denham, and I'm here with Dave Stoop and Mylon Yurkovich. And it is the Friday before Father's Day, which tends to stir the pot for many of us.
Well, it would, doesn't it?
It does. So I want you to know I have a little bunny hat.
It's actually a costume. Okay.
I grew up with a dad who I loved, but yes. My dad was one of those dads that didn't pursue me. He wasn't a conversationalist. I know my dad would have died for me, and he passed away 6 years ago, but anyway, in the midst of doing my therapy, I had been waiting for a long time for my dad to pursue me. Years, 35 years. Hmm. And what I had to finally realize is that my dad is not a pursuer. I had to kind of forgive all the hurt and pain over the fact that he hadn't come for me for 35 years.
Wow.
And finally just accept the fact that if I wanted to have a relationship with my dad, I had to do something different. And so I started pursuing my dad. So that rabbit costume, I wore it off an airplane at Easter, where I came off as an Easter bunny, and I was handing out candy in the airport. And my dad actually came up. He didn't know it was me because I had a full costume. He was taking candy out of my basket, and he said, "Hello, Mr. Easter Bunny," you know, and I was dying laughing inside this costume because he had no idea it was me. But then I put a sign on around my costume as he was looking all over for me, and I put a sign on that said, "Somebody in California loves you." And he looks at my sign and he goes, "Somebody in California loves you." And I nodded my head and he said, "I have a daughter in California." And he goes, "You're not my daughter, are you?" But, you know, I think, you know, forgiving our parents, forgiving ourselves, Dave, is one of your books, and then forgiving the unforgivable. And
well, there's another one, too, that's called Making Peace with Your Father.
Yes.
And that one deals a lot with the father, just the roles that fathers play. You know, there's a whole move in our culture, in developmental psych and in the media, to just minimize the role of fathers. Look at sitcoms and how stupid fathers are and the men are in sitcoms. And in developmental psych, they were surveying the research and found fathers were never included. And it was because of a bias that said fathers are irrelevant. And,
wow.
You know, and yet that flies in the face of so much research that says that when kids don't have a father in the home, they're more prone to delinquency. They're lower achievement scores, lower grades. They drop out of high school. Daughters get pregnant in their adolescent and teenage years. All of that says, you know, when fathers are there, these things don't happen. They just kind of ignore that because they're trying to redefine family in a way that's, politically correct rather than what really is the importance. I think the most important thing about fathers, though, is that God calls himself father. And, you know, it is an invented role, but it wasn't invented for, you know, provision and protection. It was invented by God because he makes himself father and calls himself father. And then David promises that Psalm 68 that he will be a father to the fatherless. And so there's scripturally incredible importance. And we talk about a lot of this in the Making Peace with Your Father book especially. There was one of my favorite authors, Pat Conroy, had a statement. He says, "On the day I forgave my father, my life began." And that's my story. That's why I wrote so many of those books.
Wow. Mm-hmm. On the day I forgave my father, I put on a pair of bunny ears.
Just
we'll
as
be
good.
Right back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to New Life Live. This is Sherry Denham, and I'm here with Dave Stoop and Mylon Yurkovich and your calls. So I say let's go straight to the calls here today. We are going to talk to Robin. Robin is calling from Morgantown, Pennsylvania, from WBYN. Hey, Robin.
Good morning. Good afternoon. How are you?
We're doing good.
I wish I could go along with the Father's Day theme. That could be for another call. My question today is, I have been 7 years clean from a heroin addiction.
Good for you.
However, I've been on methadone maintenance. I turned my eyes to God about 5 years ago, and as a result, I've been trying with professional help to come down off of the methadone. In 5 years, I've gone from 110 milligrams to 16.
Wow.
However, now that I'm down this low, I'm really struggling with it. And I don't know, although my personal feelings are that the real failure is going back to heroin, and being on methadone is not, I can't find anything to support that biblically. If I cannot get off of the methadone, am I displeasing my Father?
No, you're not. And methadone is probably the hardest thing to get off of. My son almost died when they were trying to detox him from or get him off of methadone. And I've got a son who's a recovering heroin addict, so mm-hmm. I understand your struggle. You do whatever you can to stay clean, you know, Robin, and if that means you're going to be on methadone for the rest of your life, then you stay on it, and because that gives you the freedom to live the way God wants you to live. Otherwise, you live in addiction, and there's no way you can go back to heroin and live the way God wants you to live, because it's illegal, and you have to do things to get it that are illegal. But methadone is legal, and you can get it, and it's like being on any kind of medication. In your case, this is the kind that saves your life. So God is pleased that you are doing everything you can to build your life in a way that is honoring to him. And being on methadone doesn't take away from
that. Mm-hmm. I've really been struggling with this because everything that I do, I try to honor God, and it's getting to the point where this is just too difficult. I mean, mm-hmm. He has blessed me so much since I stopped using dope, and I don't want to displease him. That's my biggest desire right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds like Gabe gave you some freedom.
That will not displease him. It would displease him if you got off and struggled and relapsed and had to start all over again. He wouldn't be displeased. He'd be disappointed, and you'd be disappointed. But
yeah.
He does. You know, you do what you got to do. It's like somebody's going to stay on insulin because they have diabetes. It's a replacement for something that your body has developed a craving for that is a healthy replacement under the circumstances.
We're proud of you.
And legal. I think that point you made was very good.
Yeah.
We're really proud of you. What would be a good resource to send to Robin?
Send her a Life Recovery Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great one.
There you
one.
Go. Mm-hmm. Life Recovery
Thank you.
Bible. You bet.
Thanks for your call.
You bet. Take care, Robin. Wow. You know, good stories. And sometimes mm-hmm. it's that one last thing that people need it. I mean, today it's just mm-hmm. freeing her from some guilt
mm-hmm.
that
yeah.
she was putting
mm-hmm.
on herself and something that God's not putting on her. So mm-hmm. it's nice to walk in freedom.
It is. And I do think, too, that all of us walk in our sanctification process to some degree with there's always compromise in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're never 100%. We're never mm-hmm. 100% doing the perfect job. We can't. We're always falling short. And I love what you said, Debbie. That was a great answer to her question.
Well, let's hear from Connie. Connie's calling from Seattle, Washington, station KGNW. Hey, Connie.
Hello.
Hello. What's going on?
Well, I'm really struggling. I've had a daughter that has, has always chosen the bad choice. Hmm. If she could, I think down deep she would choose to do it differently if she could. But she's got addictions, multiple addictions.
What's the list?
Well, I'm not positive, but I suspect sexual addiction, drugs, and alcohol.
Okay. How old is she?
Yeah. She's in her 20s.
All right.
But the hard part, I say this, if you want to throw your life away, that's one thing, but don't, drag someone with you. And she has a child, and she hides it really well, in that whenever I'm with my granddaughter, I can do little, tests just to kind of see what she's exposed to and what questions she may have, and just, I've got my antennas up, so to speak.
What question do you have for us today? How can we help in life?
Well, my granddaughter shared something with me this weekend, something she'd seen on my daughter's cell phone, and it was a video of her mom, and I'd asked her how, she shared with me how they responded, and it sounded like it was inappropriate sexual behavior. And
so it was a video of her mom doing sexual acts?
Yeah.
Mm. Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And
she told her mom?
She's found it on her
cell. She told her mom that she found it?
She did.
Good for her.
And her mom, it sounded like from what my granddaughter said, that she acted really upset and disappointed and sad with herself, and the conversation she had with my granddaughter was all very appropriate, and it sounded like my daughter handled it really well. The hard part is there's always been issues, and I refrain from confrontation. I'm a avoider, stuffer, or whatever, but it leaves me feeling my own emotions. I go from being angry to being depressed to being, I've got to do something, to feeling like I'm guilty because I'm not doing anything. And but then fear, if I do something, I don't know.
And you're bad because you must have be bad because you have this bad daughter. Does that get in there too?
Yeah. Well,
bad mother.
Not as much. I was married for over 30 years to he implanted a lot of false beliefs in my head, and so I'm able to go back to the truth frequently. Be careful what you ask for, you just might get it,
Let me give you two things to do with your daughter. I've been where you are, and I know what works and what doesn't work in dealing with addictions. And number one, you've got to start going to Al-Anon meetings. And you can call and get a list of where they are and be picky and choosy about which ones you go to, because there's good meetings and there's not so good meetings, so that you can understand your role in relationship to your daughter and her addictions. And then secondly, because she is functioning, in culture, in the society, then really all you can do is pray, and you get other people praying for her. We had people praying in Australia for my son, because we were down there one time doing ministry, and he got picked up by the police, and so we had a whole church down there that took him on as a prayer prayer project. So you get people praying for her, and you pray for her, and you get to meetings and let her know that you're going to start going to meetings. Just say, you know, I'm bothered by some of your behaviors, and I decided I'm going to start going to Al-Anon to understand what my role is. And
it's
you'll be amazed at what happens, because then you stop doing things that and you stop fighting inside yourself about what to do. That's going to be the best thing that happens for you. You become a lot freer, and you'll be freer when you're around her.
Mm. You can also, Connie, go to a codependency group, because what you are doing with your husband and your grown daughter is you are doing a lot of your behavior is in what I call anticipated reaction to what you think they're going to do. So what you think they're going to do, that freezes you up. And any time we're that bound up to another person's response before we can act, we're immobilized. And I think it's important for your granddaughter that you be the one that child, as she already is, coming to. And I would say to your daughter something simply like, well, I heard about the video on the phone, and is there anything you want to tell me about it? Because, you see, I'm the other main person in my grandchild's life.
Yeah.
And we need to have a dialogue about this. And it sounds from her like you handle it well, but I'm very concerned about that. Tell me about it. And you just simply enter
into... She may not tell you about it, but
she may not, but at least you're letting her know...
Yeah, bringing it up.
...that you know, because the child is bringing the information to you. And what for the child, what is shareable is bearable. So you need to keep that avenue open for your child so they have a place to process this difficult... Mm-hmm. How old is she, by the way?
She's 6, right? Did you say?
Yeah.
6. Well, that's very young to be seeing sexually explicit material.
I mean, that's really concerning.
Yeah. So just learn to speak simple phrases. Well, I saw the video.
Yeah.
You know, or I talked with my granddaughter, your daughter about the video. And just see what your daughter says. And you make simple, short statements. You don't have to be elaborate, long, think what they're going to say, you know, go through 25 retorts. Just say what you saw.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I hope something
My fear is that if she might talk to my granddaughter and tell her grandma anything, you know.
Well,
what's wrong with that? You know, I would say
fear immobilizes. That's a mobilizing thing.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? It's okay for her to know that a big grandma is watching. You know, it's like the big brother. You know, sometimes when somebody is not thinking they're being watched, their behavior is like whatever, you know. But when they know that somebody's checking in, it's not going to stop a 6-year-old from speaking their truth. 6-year-olds are like so honest. They haven't learned how to filter yet.
Yeah, and remember, Mylon's saying make it short. You know what I'd say to her is, hey, your daughter told me about that video. It sounded like you handled it well with her. And just
awesome.
Just a statement like that that lets her know you know.
Yeah, but honey, I'm concerned.
And that you're watching.
Yeah, but I'm concerned. You handled it well. I'm just concerned about her seeing that at 6.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Really?
Yeah. It depends on how she responds. Because her fear is that, you know, she may cut her off from the granddaughter, because that happens sometimes.
Yeah.
So
it's been in the past.
Yeah, baby steps.
If I'm honest with her, then... She pulls away.
Well, hey, Connie, thanks for calling today. We care about you and your little granddaughter, and thanks for being a strong grandma to step in and keep tabs on what's happening. What would be a good resource for Connie today? What would be a good resource to send her way?
What do you think?
I would probably say Changes That Heal. Would be a really
good
book.
My mind goes blank on
Two boundaries, because, you know, Connie is paralyzed by the threats, as are many people that call our show.
Yeah.
They are paralyzed by the threats of another person, and they think that, you know, that those threats can be carried out, or those threats will be permanent, or those threats are viable, and in some cases they aren't.
Yeah.
If we live for the fear of threat, we will never make choices. And what boundary says is God never lives with fear of threats, okay? But what boundary says is you can expect battles if you do set them up. And that's one of the things you have to be willing to get, roll up your sleeves and get into some scrappy times if you're going to be honest. Jesus did, and God does. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Bible's all about, is God intervening in these situations.
Well, I know Connie had shared that she was an avoider stuffer, right? So as an avoider stuffer, we're probably the most fearful, right,
to bring. A new growth zone for Connie, because Connie's not done yet.
Right.
She's not done growing.
Right.
Even as a grandma.
That's right.
Seems like there's growth for all of us, right?
As long as we're still alive and, you know, we're still a human being, then there's always room for growth.
And Sherry knows this because she's such a brain expert, but I'm just learning these things, that the brain is constantly growing. It doesn't, you know, the old idea that it just kind of atrophies over time and nothing changes, it's always changing, and you can change it in the right directions by new learning, new behaviors, new associations. It's exciting.
And our lives can change the same way, right?
Yeah.
New associations, new learning. I mean, if we don't stop, we will
success
continue.
Success breeds success. Mm-hmm. Failure breeds failure.
Well, I'm on the road to success. I don't know about you guys, but I think it's paved with new life around here. We'll be back.
There you go.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married? The ideal husband? The amazing dad? The great lover? But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. This is Sherry Denham sitting in for Steve Arterburn, and it's a big seat to fill. It's impossible to fill this seat.
Oh,
he's such an amazing man. I have
so
to tell you.
So much better looking than him.
Oh,
on TV, it's got to
like
be.
So
ratings
smooth.
Have been soaring because you're there instead of him.
Well, he has a show that he's done, 10 dates, and he's been in Nashville filming that, and so it's kind of cool. We're really proud of him doing that. But we are going to actually go to a promo on New Life Weekend that we've got coming up. July 22nd through the 24th is our next New Life Weekends. They are amazingly life-changing. If you haven't been, you need to go. Because the weekend we have trained therapists that actually are there for you. It's group. You have a group process. You've got a trained therapist. People here at New Life pray for you by name before you go. You have an opportunity to work through some of the toughest issues that you're stuck in. Anything from anxiety, depression, anger, pornography, all kinds of things where you're not having a voice, where you're stuck. And then, you know,
people who are relatively healthy can benefit too. It can
speak
be an incredible growth experience. And so you don't have to have a kind of an embarrassing issue to come. You can be saying, you know, I want to be more confident. I want to be more successful. I want to understand myself better. It works in that situation, too.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. It's a great...
You know, you've...
I love them.
All of us have done the groups.
We have all done them. I mean, I wait for these things to come because there's so much change. It bolsters my faith. It bolsters my faith in God and humans.
I got an email from somebody who was in my group probably 3 years ago, just kind of reporting, still growing, doing well.
Good.
Tina sent that. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was neat.
Mm-hmm. I always tell people, I said, you know, the wild card of the weekend is, I look forward to Sunday morning because mm-hmm. I call it the New Life Easter mm-hmm. Sunday, because truly, God shows up. He really does come on those weekends.
Well, the testimonies of those people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are phenomenal. We just hear some exciting stories on,
yeah,
on
so come.
Sunday morning.
We are going to show you a little clip. It's coming up July 22nd through the 24th.
I've actually never really opened up only to a handful of people about the pains and the struggles that I've gone through. And to open up to 8 different strangers was actually a relief. And so much got off my shoulders, and I feel so much lighter now, and I feel so much better, and I feel like I can give so much more to other people, and I don't feel ashamed, and I don't feel like I'm damaged goods, and I don't feel like I owe the people that hurt me throughout my life anything, and I've let it go. And I know that my healing is just starting this weekend, and I'm gonna have to continue to work on it, but I know that it started because of this weekend, and I want to thank you so much for it.
Thank you, Dominique.
Well, that was Donovan. She was one of the folks that came. So come to the New Life Weekend. It's mm-hmm. good. Well, we are going to our next caller. It's Emily, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. She's calling from station WORD. Hey, Emily.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet. You bet. We're excited to hear from you. And what is going on with you?
Well, this is kind of a shallow, vain thing, so I'm going to ask my question, and then I'll give you a little bit of background.
Perfect.
I want to know if you think it is crazy or even displeasing to the Lord to spend 8 hours in cosmetic surgery just to look better, and I've been diabetic for 36 years, and I've been divorced for 7 years, and I was not ever even going to consider getting married again, and really it's because of my body image. I'm really attractive and look younger than my age. I'm 59, but I had 3 C-sections, and you know, no matter how small you are, your tummy's going to hang down from those, and to be honest, I was just not going to let a man see my naked body. I have big bags under my eyes, and everybody's always commenting, "You look so tired." Well, the truth is, I have a really demanding job, and I am really tired. So I was going to get that taken care of, a mini facelift. And the thing is, I reconnected with my first date in high school.
All
really,
right.
Really good Christian man, just a wonderful person. We're just like 2 peas in a pod. And I just really believe that God sent him to me. And so...
Hey, Emily, does he want you to do this?
This was all my, you know, when he first met me and realized, you know, how inferior I feel and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to do it because it'll make me feel better. And now he doesn't want a wife who's always going to be hiding in the dark. And so he's willing to do that for me.
Okay.
So your question for us, is it okay? Are you asking, is it okay for you to make that step? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and would it even be pleasing to the Lord? Because that seems, I mean, I know that beauty is just by far the least important thing in life.
Well, I think, you know, the question is, are you really going to feel different about yourself? And I think that's something that your plastic surgeon may have already brought up, because people can go through these kind of things, but it's that internal image of myself that I still fight with. So I don't know if you've explored that with him or not. If you're doing it for yourself, then that's a whole different story than doing it for somebody else. And I think, you know, I don't think you're crazy, but I think you need to check out to make sure that this is that the internal issue, the internal image of who you are, is going to be successfully modified as well, and counseling may be a good step in that process.
Great point.
Yeah.
I was even feeling like, well, I can't even pray and ask God to see me through this surgery because it's just not even for my health.
He will be with you,
God
even cared. Under the knife.
God cares about how you feel about yourself.
We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis, listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to New Life Live. This is Sherry Denham and filling in for Steve Arterburn, and I'm here with Dave and Mylan, and we just were talking, Emily, about body image issues and cosmetic surgery and, you know, she's considering going through surgery and wondering if it's okay with God and those kind of things.
Well, and I think we live in a technology age where we can do a lot of things to enhance, improve, repair, fix. I had my mitral valve repaired 3 years ago.
It looks good, actually.
Thank you, even though you can't see it.
I kind of like the little, you know, little heart they kind of tattooed onto the heart, in your heart. the little chain that's hanging down. Like the Tin Man. Like the Tin Man's heart, right? It's a nice look.
I forgot what I was going to say now.
Oh, come on. Mitral valve surgery, cosmetic surgery.
I know. I'm just joking with you guys. I got you. But the deal is that we have opportunities to do things that we, you know, you just cannot do and could not do 100 years ago. I think what Dave began to bring up and was talking about with Emily is very important, because if I have a low view of self, if I have an insecurity, if I have fear, I can have all the body surgery I want in the world, but it doesn't change, Dave, I agree with you. It doesn't change that basic core of insecurity and that fear. And the question comes, this sort of begs the question, what else are you going to do if you become fearful at some point in time in the future in the relationship? What other ways are you going to cause stress upon the relationship because you're a frightened person? What do frightened people do in a relationship? And they can harm relationships because their fear causes them to question and look and pursue, and they're just always panicky. So I think the point is, you work on the therapy too of my insecurity along with it.
Yeah, you know, I would agree with that, and I've actually done therapy with folks that have been considered cosmetic surgery to kind of explore some of those things. And it's interesting because having talked before and then talked after, I have to say for some of them there has been an element of change, mm-hmm. because they were so obsessing over their negative body parts and negative images. Like, you know, she talked about, she's really honest with us, says, I don't want anyone to see my sagging tummy, right? I mean, if it's that, if you are thinking about it and you look at how many minutes, hours of the day in a negative way you're looking at your body and you can't get over it and you have the means to repair that, and you want to choose to do that, no one's forcing you to do it, then I say there's freedom to step forward.
Sure,
it may be freedom for her to not think about it and to have freer, you know, she might feel sexier with her new husband, and well, they're liberating.
You know, you think of the anorexic who has that body image of being
That's
fat.
A whole different ball of wax.
That, but it's the same thing because she's got 59 years, well, 35 years of seeing herself in her mind in the way she is. And surgery doesn't that changes the outer person.
True.
You've got to also think about changing the inner image as well.
You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. And that's what cosmetic surgery is for. There's a part of reality, like the anorexic. It's really not reality.
Yeah, it's not reality.
With Emily, it sounded more like it was reality. Mm-hmm. Like she could actually go into a surgeon, check in with a therapist, make sure she's done her work to explore what's underlying that,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and then move forward. But, yeah. You know,
well, you know, if we have a Lose It for Life weekend, what are we trying to do? We're trying to say you can change your body image by learning to lose weight and finding out what the it is, and won't you feel better about yourself if you change the way you look? So, you know, we, you know, this is kind of an extension of that.
That's a process that takes time.
It is a process.
It takes 8 hours.
But we're still talking about changing the way you look.
Oh, you can change that. You can change that inner image, too.
Yeah.
You just have to – she ought to begin working now on imagining herself looking the way she's going to look, and that would help in that process.
Well, let's hear from Joy. Joy is calling from Fort Belvoir, Virginia, on station WAVA. Did I pronounce that right?
No, not really.
Belvoir.
You probably spoke the right French pronunciation.
Thank you. I took a little bit of French in high school, so I was trying to pull out my old French book there. But how are you, Joy?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I started stuttering in February, and I thought it was because I stopped taking vitamins. But then I realized, like a year previously, my husband, I think it's because it's fear that's okay. The base of it, and fear of rejection mainly. And my husband had kicked me out of the house.
Oh. Because,
well, it was good because I was putting my mother and my sister above him, and I've grown up like in a codependent relationship with my mother and my sister, and I act like the child in my marriage, and I have a really good husband, and I called him the next day. It was only for like one night, and he took me back, but he had conditions, and that I would, you know, that we would be a team, partners, and that I would not always be swayed by my family, and so I'm wondering, how can I stop stuttering so much? And I'm happy I'm not doing it now. And how can I not be such a weak, passive, avoider of conflict person, and to help my marriage as well?
Well, those are all great, great questions.
Yeah, they really are.
You know, there's this concept in Scripture, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two should become one flesh. And this whole concept of really being able to leave mom and dad.
And women need to do it too, because in that Old Testament time, they did leave.
Literally. That's right. So do I have the capacity to leave mom and dad? And it does interfere with a marriage. And one of the things that all three of us who do marriage counseling, we know that one of the factors that is a part of stress within many of the marriages we see is undue influence from the external in-laws, the mother-in-law, the father-in-law, external influence. And it's because not often is it just because the parent is trying to be intrusive. It's because we need that parent in our life. And so the thing I love about what you're saying, Joy, is you're realizing I'm still little inside. I ask people all the time, how old do you feel inside? And when you feel stressed like this, people will say, I feel 8, 9, 10 years old. And then mommy feels like mommy. And your husband is going, where did my spouse go? I think your question is a brilliant question. I think it's great. I think you're right on the heart of trying to say, okay, something's got to give here. Now, the stammering or stuttering, and there's difference between the two, is very much explained by the fact that you're emotionally in a state of crisis. And when we're in an emotional state of crisis, our speech falls apart, our thinking falls apart, and we struggle in these places. And I think it'll go away when you begin to resolve and get to a place where you find yourself in a codependency group, where you get into couples counseling and you learn to break away from your family of origin, let them take care of themselves, and you learn to become that woman that God wants you to be. And it takes time.
And, you know, the other thing I would add to that is, you know, anger is probably not a very familiar emotion for you. And
this is a good point.
And allowing yourself to be angry mm-hmm. at your family of origin, not directly, not literally, where you go and confront them, but where you deal with the parents that are living up there in your head, and be angry at them for holding you back and by making you so dependent, that's going to also give you some freedom. And you know, I want to send the Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves book, because that will take you through a process where you can do that. And remember, you do not deal with your parents directly, because it's the internalization of them that you're still afraid of. And that's the crisis now, because you pulled away and it's like, oh, did I do the right thing? You know, and probably stronger feelings than that of questioning. And that's what leads into the stammering, the stuttering. Mm-hmm. But I'm proud of you. You talk to us perfectly.
Praise God. Thank you. I listen to you every day, and you all are a blessing.
Well, see, now you're not stuttering or stammering now, and perhaps it's because we've made you feel relaxed or comfortable, or we've said you've got some good stuff going on. And do you feel like you have less of a tendency to want to do that right now, the stammering, stuttering?
Yes.
Okay.
That is correct.
Okay, so therefore it proves my point that it's a function of how agitated you feel inside. And I think it's important to pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both of them said some really great things, and it will take a step of yours, Joy, to do the work, to actually, I mean, the stuttering is really almost just the symptom. It's the thing above the surface that's kind of it's the flag that's waving, you know, saying, hey, help, something's not right here, you know. You have left your family of origin, but it's like that little girl is still inside raising the red flag. And she needs to be listened to. So find a safe place. Find a place with a therapist, a codependency group, where you can start being heard and understood. And I think what both of the men said here is it will begin to decrease, because it's an anxiety-related issue. And it'll go away. The little girl inside will begin to put her flag down. And you'll find more peace in talking. So thank you for calling, and we will be back in a moment. We appreciate all of you. Give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to New Life. This is Sherry Denham sitting in for Steve Arterburn here with Dave and Mylan. And Mylan, you had a thought.
Well, one of the greatest movies this last year was The King's Speech. And the King of England was, in fact, a stutterer and a stammerer. And it showed the link between the trauma he incurred as a child and his adult stammering and stuttering. And so as the therapist, the speech therapist, worked with him and resolved a lot of his history and helped him process through it all, his speech became more coherent. He was able to work on it, and he was able to gain control.
Wow.
But it was about trauma and the process of, yep, of growth.
And it's, yep, a true story.
It's a true story.
He literally became King of England during the World War II.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is so great. Thanks.
It's a good movie.
It is.
Yeah.
That's perfect for her. All right. We're going to speak with Wendy, who is calling from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on station WORD. Hey, Wendy.
Hi. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
Okay. I want to thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome. What's going on in your world that we can help you with?
Okay. I have an 11-year-old daughter. And we have a really good relationship whenever it comes to talking with each other. She's pretty open with me. And she's never really been interested in boys and stuff like that. It's always been more about her grades and her schoolwork, and I've been really blessed with that. But now she's talking more about boys, and I know I kind of have to have this discussion with her on sex and purity, and I just really wanted some pointers on how to go about this.
Where's your husband, Wendy?
Excuse me?
Where is your husband in all this with your daughter?
Well, actually, her father and I, we were married previously, and I'm recently married to her stepfather, and they have a very good relationship. Her relationship with her biological father, he just kind of floats in and out, kind of like at his discretion.
Okay, so she does have a relationship with her stepfather that she does enjoy.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let me tell you what I did with my two girls. From the time that they were 12 years old and they just were starting to hit puberty till the time they were 17, I went and bought bathing suits with them, and I bought their new bathing suits with them during this time they were in adolescence. And as I did, I taught them the responsibility they had as a young woman to be responsible for their body, how much power they had, how men think. How men are visually stimulated sexually, how the guy that's being nice to you on the beach isn't just being nice to you, he's checking you out and looking at you, and what happens when your bathing suit turns wet, what can boys then see, and you have a responsibility to be a caretaker of this body of yours that God has given to you, but you need to know how the young male mind thinks. And I taught my girls, and this is going to shock many of our people on the show, I taught my girls never trust a man until you knew him very, very well. Because men, as we know in this world, can be predators. They can hurt people. They can take advantage. And if somebody's nice to you inordinately, the little 14-year-old girl doesn't get that, and she can be set up to be harmed, misused, hurt, and harmed. So I taught my girls all these things, and that's how I had sex talks with my girls.
Wow. You know, I'm just imagining having a dad do that. I'm sitting here listening to you, and it's just blowing my mind, yeah. Honestly.
And my daughter, and I never sexualized them, or I never said, wow, look at you, or look at that dress, or you're hot. I never said any of that. And my two girls today, who are 33, and are 35 and 24, still walk up, put their arm around me, and call me daddy.
Wow.
Still to this day.
Well, my granddaughters do that.
Yeah.
28 and 21, but I don't have any sex talks with them. So yeah. I had all sons. So
my wife had sex talks, and then I had sex talks with the boys. And both Kay and I talked, converse both back and forth equally with the boys and the girls about, because we had two boys and two girls, so we talked about sex. Right now is when you need to start talking about it.
Yeah, and both of you need to do it.
Right.
Yeah, that's the key. That's so important. Wow.
Yeah, to hear it from a dad, you know, there's something about a little girl that finds her identity in her father. I mean, from as little as we can remember, we're the ones that are twirling in our dresses, right? And we're really twirling to be seen. We're just, you know, we're wanting their attention. And I'm thinking how amazing it would be to have a man actually speak over protection in my beauty. Mm-hmm. As a little girl, as a young woman, it even feels good to have you talk about the debt today. There's something deep inside a woman's soul that really wants to be protected. And so to have her father do that as part of just training her up, that you are precious, you're a princess and deserve to be protected. So,
Wendy, does that answer your question a little bit?
Yeah, I think that honestly will help a lot because I didn't really think about it from the man's standpoint. I just thought about it more as the mother, to the daughter. But that does really make a lot of sense.
And most women don't think through the men's lens, you know, through the guy's eyes. They don't. And they're naive. I tell women all the time as we talk and lecture on sex that you are naive if you don't understand how a man thinks. And you must not take your brain and impose that into the male mind and assume they think like you do, because they are very different creatures. All right?
See, it's kind of funny because whenever, just a couple of years ago, like everybody, girls had always said, oh, well, this is how guys think. And I was like, okay, whatever. And then I actually spoke to one of my guy friends, and he really broke it down for me. And I was like, just blown away, because coming from him, it meant completely different things than coming from another female.
Right. Mm-hmm. They're very different.
Well, thank you so much for calling, Wendy. We hope something helped here as we shared with you. We're going to send you the book, How We Love Our Kids, by Mylan and Kay Yurkovich. And I love this program. I love what we do. It is just amazing. And I learn. I sit here with you guys. I want you to know. I learn. I go home, and I'm full, you know, from having heard our callers and then having spent time with you. There is so much wisdom, you know.
And I told you earlier, you're talking about the brain has got me now. I'm reading and studying.
I know. You went to like a nine-hour seminar.
Continuing ed.
That's so amazing. Well, and we couldn't do this without you as our listeners supporting us. It's so important. We are a listener-supported ministry. And so, Mylan, you had a verse for us in light of
that. We're listener-supported, but the people who listen to the show oftentimes have tremendous needs, and they can't necessarily be the supporters of the show themselves because they're in situations that are such. So Paul says, I've never been hungry for money or fine clothing. You know that these hands of mine work to pay for my own way and even to supply the needs of those who were with me. And I was a constant example to you in helping the poor, for I remembered the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, look, there's a lot of disadvantaged people out there. We must work our own work and then help those who need help themselves. And I think that's what New Life does. We help people that sometimes they don't have the money. Those of us that might have it right now could help.
I have to share with you guys, we just got an email from one of our listeners we were on earlier, and it said, you know, I heard Sherry Denham comment about New Life being on alert in some of the stations being dropped. She said she likened the flags to flying on the beach and the water conditions red, yellow, and green that we were talking about, you know, that we are in an alert state here at in our station. We've lost some radio shows, and kind of like at the beach where there's the red flags and the green flags and the yellow flags, we're in a yellow flag state because of having lost some stations. She said, I love the beach, and I'm so sad when I see yellow flags flying. You got to my heart. She said, immediately I called and became a new Club New Life member.
Hey, wow. Fantastic.
So thank you, Jen. We so appreciate. She's from Reading, Pennsylvania. Thank you for taking to heart seriously the yellow flag that we have out. We really need you. We depend on you to continue doing what we're doing. And we know we couldn't do it without you. So we're grateful. We pray for you, and this is a God-anointed ministry as we reach into the hearts and homes of so many people. And we're grateful for your listening. Thank you. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.